so much, Yomi, for leading us in our prayers. Listen to this quotation. "The problem of suffering has haunted me for a very long time. It was what made me think about religion when I was young. It was what led me to question my faith when I was older. And ultimately, it was the reason I lost my faith." That is a quotation from a professor of New Testament who had a solid church background. He's still a professor of New Testament. His name is Bart Ehrman. And he wrote a book which he entitled God's Problem. Because from his perspective, suffering is God's problem. But strangely enough, there is a litany of other people who have had a different experience. Gerald Sitzer, another professor in the Pacific Northwest, was attending a homeschool event with his wife and his children and his mother-in-law. And on the way back, he had a terrible motor accident in which he saw his wife, his mother, and his daughter killed. And yet he writes a book called In a Grace Disguised, in which he bears witness to the fact that his faith has been infinitely deepened by his experience of deep grief and deep suffering. And then there's Joni Erickson Tada, who in this series you're going to hear me refer to again and again because of her remarkable life. At the age of 17, she had a diving accident. She broke her neck and she has been a paraplegic ever since. For a considerable period of time, she tried everything she knew how to give her life up. And yet, eventually, she came to accept her wheelchair. But then it didn't stop there. You see, Joni Erickson has had two encounters with breast cancer since that time. And yet, I don't think I am exaggerating when I say Joni Erickson Tada has made a greater effect on, if we only look at the disability community, she has changed more people's lives. But it's not just the disability community. Just to listen to her speak, to read her writings, and to learn of her, the depth of experience of the love of Jesus that she has had since that time when her body above the neck ceased to function. You see, that's why I think we have to look at the subject of suffering as a paradox. Because Randy Alcorn, in his wonderful book, Is God Good, says this. He said, "Those who don't suffer very much think that suffering should keep people from God, while many who suffer a great deal turn to him rather than from him." That makes this subject of suffering such an enormous paradox. Kenneth Boer states that we need to understand that suffering is not an elective in the university of life. It is a required course. Suffering will come to us, does come to us, has come to us. And it comes in many, many forms. It's not just sickness or accidents. It's so many different things, broken relationships. And even the experience that we have now, where some of the things that we've come to be accustomed to as normality are no longer there. And for those who are experiencing these strange circumstances alone in hospital, alone in small apartments, alone in more ways than one, this is a very real sense that we are called to suffer. We are called to suffer. And the reason behind it, the reasons behind it are so mysterious. Jesus tells us that we will suffer. He doesn't say we might. He says, in this world, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. You will have suffering. Not you might or you could or perhaps. He says, you will have tribulation. But then he says, take courage, I have overcome the world. So there is hope. There is a light at the end of some of the longest tunnels that people have to face. So I have felt for a long time that for these reasons, we need to have a robust theology of suffering. Now, I'm sure that many of you think, oh gosh, what's a theology? That's going to be above my head. No. A theology of suffering is merely asking the question, what does God say about suffering? What does his word tell us? How does he expect us to deal with, to walk through, to deal with the questions that so many of us have? What does God say? And then, and as we have begun that robust theology, then hopefully we can engage with the mysteries. Now, I confess that I have been very reluctant to take this subject on, mainly because, not because I didn't think it was needed, because I know it was needed. It is needed. I know I need it, let alone anybody else. But I felt, and still do, inadequate to deal with the subject. You know, there's been so many, I've got so many books, one written by wonderful authors who have experienced so many different things, who have spilt so much ink on the subject of suffering. What can I contribute to what has already been said so much more eloquently than I do? And I recognize also that this is a subject that needs deep and such sensitivity, because inevitably we touch on areas that are really painful. And I hope you understand that as I tackle this subject, I am asking God to help me to tread extraordinarily gently. And I no doubt that I will make some mistakes. And I just ask that you, as my dear friends, will forgive me for the times when perhaps I step in places where I shouldn't have done, or say it in ways I shouldn't have done that. I trust that you will forgive my mistakes. But there are so many reasons why this is crucial right now. I mean, I am so excited about the fact that in New Life we have a growing healing ministry, where we are learning and where people are learning and practicing the fact that God heals people today. And I want to state right at this point that I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. We've seen people restored and healed before our very eyes. And Jesus promises, he says in Luke 7:22, he answered and said, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Jesus said, this happens. But then it doesn't. Then it doesn't. We cannot avoid or deny the fact that there are occasions when utterly inexplicably, the healing doesn't come down here. The healing as we define it, and I think that that's one of the things that we really have to grapple with, what do we mean by healing? But But it doesn't happen. Relationships get broken. Illnesses claim deep pain, which doesn't go away and seems to last forever. People get depressed, and the burdens of life just feel too much. They suffer from anxiety. And then there's the big things that happen. Tsunamis, earthquakes, children who are abused by the people who are supposed to love them the most. And then children who are sold into slavery to satisfy the demands and needs of other people. All those things happen, and so much more, so much more. And they seem to happen under the watchful eye of a God who is supposed to love us. A God who is supposed to love us. So what do we say? What have we got to say to those people for whom that experience is so real? Joni Erickson Tada recounts the fact that after, not long after she was in a wheelchair, she went to a healing meeting to a famous healer, Catherine Kuhlman, and she was in a queue of a line of 13 wheelchairs who anxiously and excitedly waited for her at that meeting. And she recounts the fact that she was in the same line of 13 wheelchairs that left the meeting. We're allowed to leave the meeting early so they didn't get run over by the rest of the people, but left disappointed. What have we to say to those people who, obviously, we urge them not to feel that somehow God has abandoned them, but how can they avoid feeling that somehow, is there not something that I have done that's wrong? Is there not something that I have that I've missed? Did I have not have enough faith? Is there not some reason that comes down to me that I need to be ashamed that it didn't happen for me? And then, of course, there's the people who labor on their knees. They pray. They entreat God. They do everything that they believe that they're supposed to do. And yet, on some occasion, it simply doesn't happen. How do they deal with the feeling that maybe somehow what they did was inadequate? Maybe they didn't believe enough. Maybe they didn't say the right words or say the wrong thing. You see, suffering is such a difficult and invasive subject. Dr. Paul Brand, who worked with a lot of leprosy patients, says this about us here in America. He said, it's because the meaning of life in America, in the United States, is the pursuit of pleasure and personal freedom that suffering is so traumatic for Americans. And honestly, my friends, I don't believe that we as Christians are any different. And Randy Alcorn again says, our failure to teach a biblical theology of suffering leaves Christians unprepared for these harsh realities. But in reality, Scripture takes us further than that. 1 Peter 1 verse 6 says, in this you greatly rejoice, that even now for a little while it is necessary you have been distressed by various trials. And James says, consider it all joy. James 1 verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. So what the scripture is telling us is not only should we endure, grit our teeth, survive, but where there is joy in suffering. That God has something special for us in suffering. That we're not just to endure or survive. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at some of the questions. We're going to ask about the questions that we ask, the whys, the how comes. And we're going to see that the different ways we can answer those questions. We're going to look at the ways in which suffering comes to us, the different encounters that we have, and the wide variety, be it large and small, that come to us so intensely and are so real to us. And we're going to look at sometimes the long pathways that we take through those, because for some it's a long, long passage that we can't see the end to. I know K.J. Ramsey, who's just written a book which is released later this year, says that she has an incurable disease, but there is no end point to it as far as the medical community see now. What is the answers for those who face mysteries like that? Well, we're going to look at all of those things and see if we can't unpack and learn something. Now, I am not claiming that in the next few weeks we're going to cease to recognize that suffering is a mystery. There are so many things about it as mystery, but Ken Bauer points this out. He said, the truths of mystery are not contradictory. They only seem so to human comprehension. They only seem so to human comprehension. But I want to finish this morning with a word of hope. Because you see, the fact that Jesus tells us that we might expect suffering, the fact that he went through suffering for us, the fact that the scripture tells us there is joy in suffering, means that God has an excitement. God has things for us. Even as we walk through these terribly difficult circumstances that many of us face. And there is an underlying truth. It's the truth that I quoted at the end of our Palm Sunday sermon. It goes like this. Our ability to deal with the real pain and suffering we experience in our lives is based not on what God is or is not doing now, but on the unshakable certainty of what he will do in the future. A blessed and glorious hope that is nowhere expressed better than in these verses, which I will close with in 1 Peter 1, verses 3-7. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. We have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show you that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your trial remains strong through your faith remains strong through trials, it will bring you so much praise and glory and honor in the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. My friends, that is our glorious hope. That our suffering, whatever it looks like, will refine us for that day that we have an unshakable hope for. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we recognize that sometimes our sufferings are overwhelming. Sometimes our pain is beyond our comprehension. But we recognize that you promise that you will walk with us and that you have a glorious eternity promised for us. Lord, as we seek to engage with this, we seek to understand what you want to teach us about all of these things. Lord, grow us, strengthen us, build us as a community and as individuals, that we might be able to share with a world that so desperately needs something, that needs some hope, that the hope is in Jesus and in him alone. For we ask this in his precious and holy name. Amen. Let's worship God.